Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning to you all. This is James from 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. It's 7:04 on the clock. We hope you all are having a very nice morning out there. We got a nice show lined up for you. Got a nice show. I can't do this. I'm sorry. We got to cut. I'm sorry. Can't do it. I apologize, everybody. I was going to try to start off the show with a. I worked all night on this, and it didn't work. This is why you don't try things live. You practice things. I had this. I had this really, really cool opening, and I was gonna. It was going to be original and fun, and then as I got it going, I realized it's lifeless. There's no joy to it. There's no personality, no heart, no fun. I apologize. I do suppose that is what is going to happen, though, and with the kind of entertainment we should probably get used to if the writer's strike is going to continue. I apologize for that. I worked all night with my imaginary writers, and that was the best we could come up with. And my imaginary writers are not very good. I fired all of them just in this moment.
You mean they didn't strike?
No, they didn't, because they're imaginary, and they don't know what they're doing. So I encourage everybody to do us a favor, support the Writers Guild. They are on the right side of history on this one, and I don't like to tell people what to do. So I just encourage you to look into the Writers Guild of America, RGA. This is only the second time the Writers Guild has ever struck. It should tell you something. This is more about you than you realize out there, and the worker, and the worker bee, and rooting for them and looking out for them. So I wanted to start off our show like we usually do, just asking how you guys are doing and everything. But last night, thinking about this and thinking about entertainment and the shape of it to come for... We plant trees not for ourselves to see them grow, but for kids.
Right.
This work is for the next generations. This work is not just about the writers right now, but about the work going forward. And we're going to talk a little bit about some projects that are going to be affected a little bit later about this. You're not going to feel this much probably until close to August. But as you feel this more, because this is not going to end, I encourage people to not let their impatience for lack of entertainment or these things skew your vision on this. Keep your eyes on the ball, everybody. This is about justice. This is about things being fair. There's no hey, the producers came to the writers and offered this much amount of money and the writers turned it down. That's not how this is working. They're trying to balance the scales here and trying to make things even. Things are so bad entertainment-wise. My ex-wife and I had coffee this weekend just for some content, just for something to talk about. Like, that's how bad it is right now, because we had nothing else to talk about, nothing else to work. This is how rough it is. I encourage people to read up on these things. I spent last night up all night, again, talking with most of the people on the front lines of this and how it is going. And I will tell you, their feet are in the dirt. They're not moving on this. It's too important. And I'm not talking about the big name writers on big name shows and everything. We're talking about people who are barely putting two pennies together. And it's not like you think of entertainment, you think of money, you think of riches, you think of fame. Maybe for a small percentage, but not the majority. What does that sound like to everybody? But doesn't that sound like the workforce we're already in? You should have some relation to this. You should find some correlation to this. And don't think that this is where the buck stops, like just with writers or actors or anything like that. It goes all the way down the line to front office workers, to clerical workers, to nurses, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do appreciate everybody putting up with that opening. Thank you very much for that.
Can I add one fact to this that I think is getting lost in the all of the talk about this? Think about the fact that these TV writers, their pay over the last 10 years has fallen. They have lost earnings by 23%. How many of us would stay in our job if we were getting less every paycheck over 10 years?
The perfect point. Also, just to add to that, they're the only ones. Like the actor, actors, writers, editors, these people are the only ones losing money. The producers are not. The producers are rolling in money. I do have one note, though. No one should ever have better signs or slogans Than the Writers Guild? I mean, the bar has got to be pretty high, I would think. You if you're going to be walking around with, you know, say, doing, you know, chanting or having signs, you should have the coolest, greatest written signs ever. It's a little, got to be a little different. Like, I imagine other writers looking at other writers' signs and like, I could do better than that. I don't know. Let's try that one more time. Let's all just get together here. Let's spitball. Let's see. You know, I think that they have to have perfect signs.
So no, we won't go.
Yeah, I got to do better. I got to do better than that. I mean, you're the Writers Guild. Come on, you've got to have the greatest signs ever. You've got to. That is the closest I had to a punchline to start off the show. That was. Let's get to the way we normally do this. Melissa, how are you doing this weekend? How was your weekend? That's what I meant.
The weekend.
See, this
was
is
good.
Why you need writers. They messed up the first line already.
I got to attend a Kentucky Derby party this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was fun. We dressed up. I got to wear a hat and do my hair all fancy and, you know, hang out with friends. Watched, you know, the most exciting 2 minutes in the sporting world.
Yeah.
My horse came in, I want to say, like, second to last.
Ooh.
It was in the bottom six for sure. I don't remember. Mine was King Russell, I believe, was the horse's name.
Okay.
We all,
right.
like, drew a chip. And that was our horse and paid a dollar. Or $2, I think. And then they did a little other onside betting. You know, people that wanted to put in more could do that. I did not participate in that. Lost $2. I'm okay.
Yes. Yeah. You can handle that. Yeah.
But it was a fun group of friends. We had a nice spread of hors d'oeuvres and just hung out and enjoyed the weekend. And then a quieter day on Sunday and just catching up on some work, housework, you know, all that stuff never goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Would you say the Derby event was magical? Mage won the Kentucky Derby.
Right?
Mage won. So I think.
Well, see, the thing
this
is.
This is why we need
so
writers.
So it was magical. Was it magical?
Yeah.
The sad, unfortunate thing about that is one member of our party was going to put like $500 on that horse.
Oh.
Changed his mind the last second and didn't do it. He would have won really big.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't 500. Maybe it was like 100. But still, that's a decent amount of money to just bet on a horse. And that he would have won, but changed his mind. So.
Anybody in that situation, I would look at what Mattress Mac, how much money he has lost in these things. That guy just loses and loses. But he wins sometimes, too. He's pretty impressive. Glad to hear it was a fun weekend. And did get actually to a chance to see the how Melissa and Aaron were decked out. They looked amazing.
Oh, guys, I look great. See pictures.
I'm not always the fan of the smaller hat. The hat really worked for him. I like the hat. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Well, it just so happens that somebody brought that one along, and so he was the lucky. He came in wearing a straw hat, kind of like mine, but rattier. He looked a little bit like Gomer Pyle.
Perfect.
For those of us who didn't get a chance to see it, did they do anything to recognize the horses that died while they were down there?
We didn't have the TV on the whole time.
Okay.
Like, we only turned it on
they
during
didn't?
The...
No, they didn't. No, they never do. They never do.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, we're going to talk about it in Playmakers, probably.
Okay, all right.
Looking forward to it. Also, I'm very happy to hear that, Melissa.
Yes.
And a nice Sunday as well. That's a perfect Sunday, actually, the way it sounded. Beth, how was your weekend?
It's been busy, but it's been good. You know, just trying to get ready. We had a wonderful worship. We celebrated what was called Moravian Music Sunday. So we have a rich history in the Moravian Church. Our denomination was the first to publish a hymnal. Ever. So once a year we celebrate the contributions of different Moravians throughout the centuries, and we had our trombone choir played, we had our children's choir sing. It was just a wonderful celebration, and then I got to go out with my boys, and they had a play date with a couple of their friends and enjoyed the weather that we were having until it got overcast and rainy. So it was more of a lower key weekend for me, which I'm good, except I spent most of my evenings at the theater, which was wonderful. If you have not yet had a chance, you need to go see The Curious Savage at WRCT. It is phenomenal. This is a great cast. It is perfectly cast. There is such wonderful chemistry on there. So I've been helping out with that, and I'll be there again this weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday. So
very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we heard good things over the weekend. The run started well for WRCT. We had some of the gang in on Friday on Morning Magazine, and they were ready to go. Wishing them a great run. WRCTheater.org is where you can get tickets. They'll be back at it this Thursday. I got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2C shows. Find out more information at WRCTheater.org.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it a little... like boring, or was it a little lonely on Saturday? Not as many people around for the Winter's Farmers Market. did you find yourself looking for like, you know, just to pick up something and purchase something, or, yeah, or did little things?
Yeah, I walked around that basement. And there was nothing there.
Yeah, it's gotta be weird. It's gotta be a little weird.
But we're looking forward to coming back in the fall.
Looking forward to that, and yeah, encourage people to go to onto YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. You're able to see the services. And many other great things on that page. And they do a great job with that. So I encourage you to subscribe to that page, everybody. For now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll get into our National Day of calendar. That's coming up for you. A little bit later, we're going to talk all-you-can-eat buffets. When do we stop feeling young? What age exactly? All that coming up. 8 o'clock hour is going to kick off with a live and direct update from my friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. After that, we're going to get into the top phrases young people use that the rest of us have no idea what they are saying. And then we got 8 more terms the young people don't get.
All right.
Huh? Yeah.
That's what we'll get into. Both sides of the coin.
Hey.
8 o'clock hour will also feature Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, we have the kitchens open. That's the way we like to do Mondays. Looking forward to that. A big shout out to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring that segment. And, of course, we'll lead into Playmakers today from 10 to 11. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. We want you to call up. It's your chance to talk sports with us. Call up at 424-2600. Anytime between 10 and 11, and we'll talk sports. Not only are we going to have Seth in today, with us, but we are also going to have Tyler in with us. Tyler Miller, operations manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
Excellent.
Awesome. Looking forward to having Tyler in with us this morning, talk with him. Rafters made a couple of signings over the past week that we want to talk about, and a couple other things going on. Tyler's going to be joining us at least twice a month, maybe a little bit more, maybe once a month as the season gets he gets busy and everything in the season. But he's going to be joining us all season long now until August at least.
Excellent.
Because it is baseball time now until August at the very least. So, got all that coming up. Yeah, it is. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this May 8th, 2023. It is National Nurses Week.
Thank you, nurses.
Greatly appreciate our nurses. They are integral part of society and integral part of the medical world, and I cannot imagine our world without them. We have National Nurses Week to celebrate until this Friday, May 12th. It is World Donkey Day.
Oh.
Poor donkey.
Don't be a jack.
Is Donkey from Shrek the most famous donkey?
Probably.
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe, yeah. Visit a petting zoo or simply do some research into the underappreciated, stalwart, useful, and intelligent beasts of burden known as donkeys. There's a lot of interesting history about the donkey. Two subspecies of the donkey, a Somalian and the Nubian, were bred together to produce what we think of as the modern donkey.
Okay.
Available evidence points to the donkey having been working alongside humanity since 4000 BCE, most likely in Dubai. Think about where human society would be without animals.
Yep.
Right.
How far would we have gotten? You know, how much would we have accomplished? Where would we be without them? Days like this are a fantastic opportunity to appreciate that.
When we talk about how important horses were to the advancement of civilization, donkeys were just as important.
Yep.
Yes, very much. It is World Ovarian Cancer Day.
Very important day.
Researchers research and spread awareness about ovarian cancer to help others recognize the dangers and signs early and increase survival and recovery odds for many.
And I want to point out there are now signs. Ovarian cancer used to be known as a silent killer, but there are some symptoms that you can look out for. So women, I would highly encourage you to go research, learn about it, see what kind of symptoms you have, because as sooner you, if you catch it early enough, it can be treated.
Yeah, it is the eighth most common cancer in the world for women.
Yeah. Ovarian cancer is a major disease responsible for some 140,000 deaths globally every year. However, as with many other genealogical disorders, it is not particularly well understood, especially in some developing regions. Mm-hmm. For that reason, the charity Target Ovarian Cancer spearheaded World Ovarian Cancer Day, a global initiative to highlight the plight of women and with the condition and provide hope. My family, I imagine almost every family out there, has been touched by this particular type of cancer. I know that every family by now has been affected by cancer, but this one affects us so... you can't say one more than the other when it comes to the C word, but this one just seems like it's really does hit home for so many people.
My mom, whose birthday would have been tomorrow, passed away of ovarian cancer 15 years ago. And to hear and see how far they've come in understanding it and in treating it, it's I celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is No Socks Day.
Yay! I win.
Yeah?
I'm celebrating.
Beth is celebrating.
I'm not. I have socks and slippers on.
Oh.
I would be shoeless, sockless if I could right now. Go barefoot, dig, cut off your sandals, or take the opportunity to stay home and let your feet relax, free of their unusual prison of socks and constrained shoes. Yes, give your feet some freedom. Actually, they do say it's medically great to let your feet breathe some odd amount of time a day. You're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And that when we think about getting sun, it's also a good idea to get our feet, our legs, you know, calves and all that. Make sure to get those in the sun as well. Mm-hmm. It's good for us. It really does add to the whole body.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Feet are great.
Yes, they are.
We do not
have, kind of important.
I will say this. they're talking about socks and everything. But the Donkey Day and something about feet being on the same day are very fitting. We don't appreciate either one very much.
Nope.
I do this thing with socks. I like to have crazy socks. I like to have weird socks, and I like to have fun socks. It's all my way of tributing to Robin Williams. Robin Williams did this with shoes. Any interview you ever saw with Robin always had wild shoes on. Like, if you thought they weren't wild, wait until he moves around and you see the bottoms of them, and you're like, oh, that's the weird part. Like,
okay.
He just always did this. It was something that he thought was a fun way. It made people laugh and made people smile.
Yeah.
When he passed away, I could not afford buying new shoes all the time, but I could get socks.
Yeah.
So the socks is one of those.
There you go.
But I like being barefoot. So it's this weird like crux of like I like all my weird socks and everything, but especially as we get nicer and nicer out, the way some people are with dying to put shorts on, I can't wait to get barefoot.
Well, lucky for you, James, you live in a part of the world where you need to wear socks for the majority of the year. So
well put. Free trade day.
Yay.
Dig into the benefits and disadvantages of free trade, and to understand what that's commonly what this commonly tossed around phrase would really mean to the world economy. Free trade is an often discussed topic in economics, but outside of the experts, not many people seem to know about what free trade is. For those who are looking for a great learning opportunity, then Free Trade Day is the ticket to that.
All right.
It teaches people about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Globalization continues to impact the way economic life works. Free Trade Day emphasizes what the world would look like without tax and trade barriers. It also aims to help encourage people to learn about this kind of economic thought and its social impacts. Do we need to get into what free trade is?
Well, I mean, it didn't get established until the 1980s. With the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a relatively, I think, newer concept.
Hmm. The concept of free trade was founded by a variety of figures in the 18th century. But to Melissa's point, we didn't get anything in paper, if you will, until around then.
Right.
Think about what the world we live in and how trade works and all these tariffs and taxes, all these different things to get all these goods here to here to here and benefiting the world. Like mm-hmm. this country benefits from this, this country benefits that. Oh, you guys, we're basically all, well, we are all neighbors and you're going across the street asking for sugar.
Right.
Like, hey, do you guys got any of this? Because we don't have it in our country.
And I'll give you this for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's enough of everything in the world if we would allow it to be distributed evenly instead of mm-hmm. trying to hoard what we think that we need.
Hmm. Or, you know, adding barriers to getting it to right. markets. The Free Trade Day supports the idea that lower prices for consumers and growth opportunities for producers would ensue if we had free trade.
Mm-hmm.
It is also National Coconut Cream Pie Day.
Yum.
Did anybody hear that? I just heard Seth. I don't think that was really Beth. I think that was Seth vicariously going through Beth. Yes,
Seth
yes,
there.
Yeah. They've been together a while.
We do kind of share a lot.
Yeah. I don't think I've had this particular type of one.
Oh, it's good. It's very
good. If you like coconut.
Yes. Mm. Because there's a textural thing to it as well, because it has coconut mm-hmm. flakes in it.
Mm, right. Okay. So you got to like, and those are a little more chewy, mm-hmm. typically.
Oh, now that I like. Okay, that I like. Hmm, that I might try. Huh. Okay, it's golf day. Especially now.
Somewhere.
It didn't even have to necessarily. This weather is in the Midwest. I guarantee there will be golfers out there. I guarantee it.
As long as the greens are dry enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That being said, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my brother, I guarantee you, plenty of other people will be out there today. I'll have to make sure to mention that today is golf day to him. Mm-hmm. That is ironic for a couple of reasons. We'll find out a little bit later. That's good, though. That's a good one. And one of those sports that everybody, I feel like, when I was, as I was getting older, one of the first signs of it was, hey, you're going to love golf one day. You know, and that kind of thing. And more, but now as I'm getting older, it seems like people like my brother and other people are like threatening me with it. Like, you're going to golf one day. One day you'll be a golfer. No, it'll never happen to me. Yeah, you'll be golfing. You'll see. You'll be like the rest of us. I don't know.
It's an opportunity for some good low mm-hmm. impact exercise. It's expanding on the walk. It's not, you know, like the quote from the Gilmore Girls, a good walk spoiled.
Yep. Mm.
But it is a chance to get out in the fresh air, socialize.
And that's the thing. Brain. I think for a lot of us, it's more about the fellowship that happens rather than the game itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the way it seems to all my friends that golf and everything. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of friends and my brother and stuff that golf and are all into it. So. Does seem like it. I will go begrudgingly. You will find me at 70 on a basketball court, still trying to do a crossover or something like that, and breaking a hip or something like that.
But James, sure think of all of the material that you might be able to pull together from one game.
All right, now you're talking. Now you got me. Beth knows. She speaks, James. She gets it. All right, that actually is. You got something there. And finally, for our National Day of Calendar, it is Iris Day.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a beautiful flower.
Beautiful flowers.
Very beautiful. Go outside and pick some of nature's most beautiful creations. I would suggest maybe taking pictures of them instead. Mm-hmm. If you can find any locally, think about planting some yourself or drawing or painting them.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked the idea of giving people flowers. My dad has done this for my mom as long as I've been alive. I can remember so many times my dad running around. We don't have the time for this, but he's stopping and he's picking up flowers and we're booking home, you know, because we got to make the L train and got to, mm-hmm. you know, do all these things and stuff. And we're on the, like, Dad, what is it your anniversary? Is it? No. Well, it's a Tuesday. It's, you know, he just wanted to do it and everything. I grew up with that. So I've grown up the idea of giving things to people, giving flowers to people. You just do it when you care. Like there's no rhyme or reason necessarily to it. You just feel it. You go with it. One of the first things I remember my dad doing in this rush was we're walking. We're in a hurry. And we walk past this lady. He's got some flowers out. And he did one of those stops. Like double take, flip mm-hmm. back, picked up this, like, not a bouquet, but this thing of like a couple irises, because my mother really loves them. Mm-hmm. They're one of her favorite flowers. I believe. Maybe I remember that wrong, but I do remember they were irises that he grabbed. He may have also just saw a deal. It may have been a little of that, too. A little column A, a little column B.
I hope there are husbands convenient out there paying attention, because it seems like guys do a great job when they're dating to woo the girl, giving them flowers at random times. Mm-hmm. Once they get married, it's like, okay, I got her. I don't need to do it anymore. So are you listening, Seth?
Everybody appreciates flowers.
Yeah. Is this one of your guys'... would this be top five flowers for you? Would this be in your top five? I'm a guy, so I have to give you your top five list. I have to make this sports related. I'm so bad. I apologize. I don't know what that was.
I don't know. I've never really had a top five. I like wildflowers a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably be more inclined. Like, lilacs are my number one favorite. Okay. Hands down.
Nice. Don't tell Seth.
Nice.
He hates the smell of lilacs.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, well. But no, I'm lucky for him. I can't find my lilac perfume I used to wear. So.
I'll find. We're gonna find you some. We'll find you.
It's really difficult to find that actually smells like authentic lilacs.
Hmm. Yeah.
The name Iris comes from the Greek word for rainbow, and most mythology adept will say that Iris was the messenger of the gods. Mm-hmm. She was the link between sea and sky, or the rainbow glider, if you will. Mm-hmm. In the country of Belgium, Iris Day has a rich history that includes the celebration of democracy over fascism. In fact, the Iris Day in Belgium is part of the Iris Festival that is celebrated on May 8th. The date is significant for a number of reasons, including the fact that this is a symbolic day for the victory over the Nazis in World War II. In addition, Iris Day takes place on the same day as the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, who is considered to be the patron saint of the city of Brussels, the capital of Belgium.
Well, there you go.
It's a lot to actually interesting history with the Iris and World War II and other areas in that place. Other areas, too.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And that is going to do it for our National Day of Calendar. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about these all-you-can-eat buffets. I want to talk a little about that when we come back. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting.
We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Got a good things going around here. We got some good stuff to take you to the top of the hour. Some fun stuff coming up yet. We're going to tell you what age we stop feeling young at. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Isn't it basically the age you start feeling aches and pains? Like 13? like 13, you pretty much stop feeling young. You don't realize it, maybe, but sure enough, you do. We got a lot of fun things lined up this show. Of course, 8 o'clock hour feature Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the Kitchens Open, our fantastic segment the show inside the show that Melissa works so hard on. We appreciate the work that you put into them, Melissa. And, of course, appreciate Chatterbox Catering.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Big shout out to them. Talking a little bit of food right now, 3 years ago when we were venturing out in public in hazmat suits and those big dinosaur costumes and everything. It seemed like all-you-can-eat buffets were like a...
gone.
They
disappeared.
There was a point during the pandemic where I was driving through town, and, of course, there's nobody around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to get to work here and everything, because we're considered essential.
Right.
And I went past a buffet, and I thought, well, that's gone. Like, we're not getting these back. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a point there where I genuinely thought it was a realistic thought. It wasn't hyperbole or over exaggerating or anything. That I can't imagine us having buffets back. It seemed very far fetched. Well, it seemed like all you can eat buffets were gone. Well, a company that tracks restaurants says that this spring visits to three leading buffets, Golden Corral, CC's, and Pizza Ranch, were up by 125% from 2021.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a faster rate of growth than other types of restaurants. most types of restaurants, as the research I could see. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason is that is the easing of the pandemic. Some people are no longer concerned about people touching and breathing bathing over the same food that they'll be eating, not to mention using the same serving utensils. But there's more to it than that. There's also the cost. Higher-end restaurants are raising prices due to inflation, so people are going to buffets looking for value. And this isn't just a return to normal. Golden Corral's sales grew 14% last year from pre-pandemic levels.
Wow.
Which is, this is a business. So, you know, I don't think anybody's looking to say anything negative about this or anything like that. I do think that it tells you something right out the gate that are people easing up? Are people feeling more comfortable? Are we getting back to what whatever the new normal is a little bit? Yeah, I think all of that is true. It tells you something that people would rather pay, they'd rather risk their health than have to pay more for food, or they have so little money that they will risk their families, them and their families' health. As opposed to having to, because they don't have the money to spend, and they got to spend, you know, they're going to go out to eat, got to do it. Hey, we do it this way because it's the most affordable. Like, it reminds me.
And you get the most food,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of how this is going to lead me down a whole path here. Let's keep moving before I get on my soapbox.
Before you get on your path, should we talk about what our favorite buffets are?
Yeah.
Because mine was the Old Country Buffet in La Crosse, and my mom and dad used to take us there. That one was the best because they had a huge salad bar. They actually had two salad bars.
Wow.
And then they had multiple different stations where you could get, you know, like they had a whole area that was like Southern type of food, and then another area that was like your basic, I don't know, they'd cut fresh cut meat there for you.
Wow.
And then a whole area that was just desserts. And as a kid, I was in heaven. That was the best.
I've always wondered why they don't, and maybe they do, but I just haven't seen many of them, why they don't have more like Indian food buffets.
Oh, I know.
They seem, the food itself seems perfect for a buffet situation.
Oh, I've been to several of them.
Have you? Okay. I know I've heard of them, but I haven't ever really like seen one. Like
That would be my favorite. In North Dakota, there was an Indian restaurant that did a lunch buffet, and I loved going to that restaurant.
I really like Asian buffets. Like, I am the last person you would ever... Like, I am not an Asian food guy. I don't eat a lot of Asian foods. Buffets are perfect for me. Because I can pick and try.
Pick and choose.
Yeah. And most buffets are really... Especially, you know, the here in America and everything. Most of them are really good about having... Hey, you don't like... Well, we got pizza. We got something. Yeah. We got something you'll like.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah, something. You know?
Well, and often they'll put stuff out on the buffet that's not on the regular menu.
Yeah.
You can only get it when it's on the buffet.
Yeah.
I do like those. I do like that. Last week we had the article we were talking about the idea of the bill of 14-year-olds working in bars and things like that, and thinking about how just the first thought that hit me was they would rather risk and make young people work.
Right.
The thing that we always hear most people complain all the time about, young people aren't young long enough, they don't get to be kids long enough and everything. We'd rather do that than pay people a livable wage.
Right.
Like, and I think about this, like, where as a family, you want to take your family out, you want to do things and stuff, of course, that's understandable, but you can't afford it, so you got to go somewhere you can afford it. Are you risking your health a little bit? Are you risking your family's health a little bit? Yeah, but you're going to do it because you want to go out and do stuff, you want to do things with your family. I don't know, these, we're seeing more and more of these compromises we have to make when we don't have to make them.
Right.
They should not be, we shouldn't have to be making these. I'd like to see, when's the last time you heard somebody in the top 1% or any CEO or anybody like that say, yeah, things have been rough this year. We gave up this, and this, or anything like that, or how we've been making ends meet. You don't hear that because they're not struggling. Why is it that they are not being affected? They have not been affected like we all have been.
Right.
A CEO loses their job, they get this big like $1 million payout and everything like that. Even that stuff isn't the same. I lose. Civic Media texts me right now, James, you're fired. That's the end of it, gang. I'm done. There's no, you know, sayonara. No big surprise. You know, no big send off or as far as money or anything like that. I mean, come on, it doesn't make sense. It's not. The system is not working. The system is not correct.
Well, if you want to have a larger workforce, instead of employing our kids, how about offering child care to families so that you can get the parents here from other places to be a part of our workforce so that the kids can be kids?
Look, I'm telling you, I have never had this happen, but I imagine a 14-year-old is terrible at mixing drinks. They gotta be, they're horrible at this stuff.
And they can't even test their work.
No, they can't. No, it's
have
a very
no
good
idea
point.
They're supposed to have no idea what it tastes
this
like.
This color looks cool with this color. I'm going to put these colors together.
I made puce.
Yes, yes. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the age that we stop feeling young. We're going to get into that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. The morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. I hope you're having a fantastic start to your Monday out there. Got some stuff to take you right to the top of the hour. We're looking forward to doing that. At the top of the hour, CBS News will come in and catch up on all your world news. And then we'll have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley usually joins us. Talk with Paul, find out what Mother Nature's got in store. After we are done hanging out with Paul, we're going to get into the top five phrases young people use that the rest of us don't get. And then we'll get into eight terms young people don't get. All that coming up. 8 o'clock hour, of course, featuring Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and plenty more fun for you. Right now, what age did you stop feeling young? What's something that would make you feel old? Gray hair, wrinkles, hearing like a song that you loved in high school on Muzak, that kind of thing. Or even better, like seeing like somebody who was like when we were kids, like huge, popularly famous, and now they're doing commercials and kind of like, you know, just hanging on to the last little bit of their fame or something. Like, there's a lot of signs of like getting older, I think, not than your typical ones. A recent global study looked into how people feel about their age, and they found that in America, the average age when people stop feeling young is 43. Right now, that's people who were born in 1979 or 1980. The good news is that there's a buffer zone. Americans don't start feeling old until they're 52. So this is the last year before elder millennials stop feeling young. Millennials are generally considered to be born between 1981 and 1996, and the next year, those 1981 babies will be turning 43.
Okay.
Of all countries, Italians are apparently the youngest at heart. I could have told you this. They stop feeling young, and they don't stop feeling young until they're 60, and they don't start feeling old until they hit 70.
Okay.
Wow.
And this is not just like Italians from like in Italy. I've never met a Dago. I should say I've never met an Italian that and I can say Dago, by the way. I can get away with that. That has not been young. That has not been eternally young. Now, that can be a bad thing, too. That can be a maturity thing.
That's the distinction I want to make. We're talking about feeling your bodily age, not your behavior.
But in all seriousness, many people might have seen there was an article a couple of weeks ago that was making the rounds about a lot of Americans moving to this particular town in Italy. That there is another town in Italy that for decades has been talked about as they're the ones that discovered the fountain of youth, because people live into their late hundreds and stuff there. It's done this for millennia. It's been like that. Italy's known for a lot of these things. It's part in where they are near the equator and all these things. There's a lot
and
of
their diet.
I was going to say the diet is a big part of this. A huge part of it, the culture.
Yeah.
Now, I joke all the time. My family, most Italians, we scream "I love you" at each other. We you know, "I love you." And it's like, "I thought you were angry at me." "No, I was just telling you I love you." "Now I'm angry." You know, there is a lot of emotions on your sleeves. There is a lot of it is almost the opposite of some bearing.
Nothing is repressed.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Get it out in the open.
there is a lot of people that will tell you that that is very healthy. Mm-hmm. Like there is a barrier, like anything in life, there is a barrier. There's a thing called tact that I would love to see more of my people have. But there is a lot of rhyme and reason to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we can be inspired by that. I think that we can take a little bit of, you know, we've talked about, and it's been a little while now, but we talked about the 4-day work weeks. Yep. We've talked about having more opportunities for mental health and to be able to decompress more often in society and finding those
better
moments.
Work-life balance.
Yeah.
We constantly are focusing on our diet. And if, you know, we keep up in doing this and everything the way that, the weather's going and stuff, it's going to get warm like it is near the equator around here. We got that going for us, too. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Is there an age that you, and I'm glad Beth did this early on too. We're talking body. We're not talking maturity.
Right.
As far as your body, is there a genuine age that you felt like you were getting old? For me, I didn't start feeling it until honestly some years ago. I've obviously been getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that have definitely told me I'm getting older, but I haven't really noticed the restraints. I didn't notice, okay, I got it. You know what? I can't lift that much weight anymore. I gotta go down a little bit here, or I gotta increase my reps and decrease my weight, or some of these things. When I take my run or my walk, maybe I gotta walk a little bit more than my run, or some of that stuff. Really, I'm the last one to know that I'm getting older. I am the last person to realize it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's been within the last year or so. There are things that I used to be able to do that I'm like, oh, why is this more difficult now? But it's again, age can, it is so connected to your state of mind as well. You know, not your behavior, but just the way that you approach life and how you feel. And if you are, you know, the more active you are, the longer it's going to take to start to feel old.
Yep.
For me, I think it has to do, like, it's kind of come and gone because there are different periods of my life. Like, in my, I want to say late 20s, I really struggled with my back. I had a lot of back issues that, you know, and when you can't move and function and exercise and do what you normally do for an extended period of time, like I'm talking a couple years, that kind of affected me even mentally then of feeling a little older. Once that resolved and I got healthier and back on track with that, I'm definitely feeling better then. but then when you don't exercise for on a regular basis for a couple of years, that catches up with you. But I do also think mentally, just getting irritated with the things that bother me now, that makes me feel old. Like if I get angry with somebody for the way they park, that seems like I'm like the old person shouting at the young, get off my grass, you know, that just
old man yelling old man yelling at cloud, get out of my sky, cloud.
Well, and I keep struggling with, I can remember when my dad turned 40 and telling him he was over the hill, he was so old, and I hit 40, I'm like, this is nothing. This is not what I thought 40 was.
No, not when you're 10.
No.
That the old age changes so much as we leave childhood.
Well, and society looks at ages differently now than they once did. Yeah. You know, I think we've come a long way in how we perceive somebody who's in their 40s and 50s than we did, you know, even 30 years ago.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that's been doing that too is as we get longevity has lasted more. We're living longer. We're living different. We're finding different ways to eat healthier, to be better, and those things too, which is adding to a better life.
Right.
If we go back to the Middle Ages, 40 was old. That's kind of when you died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for women, especially, we're still subjected to being treated in some ways to studies that were from that era, like a woman in her 40s is considered having a geriatric pregnancy.
A woman after 35.
Okay, thank you. After 35.
You're kidding me, really?
No, both of mine.
I didn't know that.
Both of my pregnancies, yeah.
That has to do with a study that was done very, very long time ago, when mortality was much different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You are considered higher risk after the age of 35. And when I told, because my dad, when I told him I was pregnant, because I got married later in life, Seth and I took a little while before we found each other. And I said I was pregnant. He goes, oh, you're having a geriatric pregnancy. I'm like, Dad, that's mean.
Yeah.
And I said that to my OB. She's like, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's just mean. You're a higher risk because of your age, but to call it geriatric?
I just don't even know when it's like that's I'm not saying that that word's like an un PC word or anything like that, but I just have never known when that word's okay to use. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever used that word.
Well, and because we have this notion in our mind of what geriatric should be. And it's hard to, because we think of the old frail, bent over kind of person. And it's more of a term just for those that are beyond a certain age and need a little bit more attention with their health care.
I think the only time I've ever used that word is when I was trying to say like something else, like a dinosaur I was trying to name or something. You know, the geriatric dinosaur, that guy, that one guy with the spikes, that guy. Like that's the only time I think I've ever said that word is when I miss saying something else or something like that.
Well, and I think as a society, we're portraying, you know, representation matters, and we're portraying people in their 40s and 50s on TV and in movies differently than we did a generation ago. You know, it's a younger, more hip kind of, you're not ready to be put out to pasture like you once were.
That's important. As far as we've come in with the PC culture and a lot of these things, and there's a lot of good that's been happening with that and a lot of good representation, there's a couple of things that have slipped through the cracks, and ageism is still a big
absolutely.
Deal. It's still a problem, whether we're talking very, you know, the young or we're talking about obviously seniors or people up there. And, you know, spoiler alert, if this all works out, you know, the end game is to make it to that.
Yep.
It's going to affect all of us and everything. We should care about these things. We should be paying attention to it. And not allowing age to ever be a restraint other than, you know, hey, you're too young to be doing something. That kind of thing, obviously, when it comes to laws and just basic common sense. But outside of that, I don't know. I mean, we're seeing it every field. We just saw Tom Brady retire at an age that when I never thought you'd see a quarterback in his 40s playing NFL football. Like that, just saying that sentence out loud, I feel ridiculous saying that. The kid me would have never seen that. Now we're seeing athletes stay in the game longer. We're seeing our bodies be able to handle more. And I mean, in every field, we're seeing this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people, too, that are having to work longer. Because they can't retire. Again, the age thing comes up, and it's something that we need to address. And maybe as we're correcting other things in society, we will hopefully get our way to that without taking too long, because, again, it's age, and that, you know, we only have so long here.
Yep.
Take a break. We will come back, and we're going to have some fun. We'll kick things off with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We will bug Paul a little bit, like we always do. And, of course, after that, I want to get into this thing with the phrases.
Okay.
You know, because I want to know which ones, I want to see how unhip I am. I want to see how few of these I get. And I'm also looking forward to getting into these terms young people don't get. I think you're going to like this. A little idiom talk and some of that coming up. And plenty more right here with Beth and James and Melissa at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.